see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokers Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Waboom is like waka waka. Pie in the face, waka waka, honk honk, fart joke. Thank you.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Here to Make Friends. We
are wabooming out this week.
Or wabooming in at this point. So much happened this episode. I didn't even know where to start.
I didn't even feel like I was the same person at the beginning and the end of this episode.
I forgot what happened at the beginning by the end.
Exactly. But to break all this down, plus a few pretty big news items that came out this week, we have the wonderful Vella Lavelle with us.
Hello.
Of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and also the upcoming movie, The Big Sick.
So yeah.
Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, guys. I should be thanking you.
We should all thank each other.
We should all
gratitude practice.
Exactly.
So we have to start with some Bachelor world news or Bachelorette world news. Let's start with the good news. Rachel apparently used to date Kevin Durant.
Yes, I saw that.
What?
This is fantastic.
How has this not been a thing before?
But I love that it was like, wasn't it like in college?
Undergrad.
Like, I'm going to law school. Like, it's like perfect. You know what I mean?
It feels like a movie, like Love and Basketball style. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to the NBA. Well, I can't come with you. I'm going to law school to be a high-powered attorney.
And then The Bachelorette.
And then I'll be The Bachelorette, yeah.
And now they've both taken their own paths to fame, and it's just so beautiful.
I feel like each season we're just justifying more and more why every sports site covers The Bachelor and The Bachelorette so obsessively.
Yeah, what's our angle? How can we justify this?
Always a good like JoJo.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, right, with Jordan.
Jordan Rodgers and the Aaron Rodgers.
I'm learning about sports through the Bachelor.
Me too.
Via the Bachelor.
Claire,
it's a
Claire's
great way to ease into it.
Yeah. Claire's more of an actual sports fan. I'm more of a like sports fan.
I also get more of it by osmosis because I live with a man who is a fan of about 7 different sports teams.
Oh,
so
there
it
go.
Just seeps in. I also grew up with 3 guys. God, I was doomed. I was always going to know about sports.
There we go.
Bad news.
Lee Garrett, one of the contestants, obviously.
The one with vertical hair.
One of the two with vertical hair, because the male model also has vertical hair. Lee, some racist tweets
and sexist
and homophobic and Islamophobic.
I mean, usually when you find
all of the phobics,
one, you're going to find at least one more. And it just snowballs from there.
So for people who haven't read the story, this is something that I think a few Bachelor followers and reporters kind of uncovered in the last week. Claire and I wrote a piece about it. Basically, if you go back in the last year or two, not too far back in Lee's Twitter feed, you will find some tweets that suggest things like he hates Islam and he believes that the NAACP and KKK are the same.
Are the same thing. Well, and that the NAACP is racist.
Yes.
And the NAACP is worse in a way because they're not, they don't have what he calls the sense of shame to cover their racist ass faces.
Oh my God.
So this is pretty horrific.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Especially when you consider that they cast this person intentionally to date their first black lead.
Yeah, it feels like I just don't understand how they didn't find these tweets. Like, isn't that the first thing you do is, like, go on someone's
social
media?
Oh, they found the tweets.
And they just didn't care.
So The Hollywood Reporter published something, I believe, yesterday, where they had spoken to Lee separately in an interview, I assume before this broke, and asked him how he was cast. And he said he was approached by a producer in his Facebook messages.
No.
Yeah.
So there is no way.
Oh, are you serious?
There's no way in my mind that one of the casting people did not see this. This is what they do.
Of course.
They research these guys. And it's, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. And it's what's really hideous about it is that I can see from a narrative perspective why they thought, we need to throw in some drama. You always assume that the casting producers are going to put people who are not going to get along,
right,
who are going to clash in some way. But what is gross about this is that for the narrative benefit of a predominantly white audience,
yeah,
they are putting black men and a black woman in the position to not only educate that audience about race,
yes,
but to be victimized by someone who clearly does not have a lot of respect for people of color or women.
I just feel like there are so many other opportunities that they could have taken with this, like with her being the first black bachelorette. It's like it can be an educational opportunity and like an inclusive opportunity, not an opportunity for just like more racism, like on purpose. Like, and that stuff is going to come up anyways.
Exactly.
And the fact that they like orchestrated it.
They're like, oh no, what if none of the white guys are racist?
What if they have no preconceived notions about black women? And it's like, no, that's going to happen. So just like do the best you can to like make it a positive, I don't know, like.
Right, to cast people that have, to cast people that have at least a basic respect for your lead.
Yeah.
And
her
for
background,
their, for
as
her humanity.
And as a black woman, it's just like everything.
Right. And there were some really
what did
upsetting.
What did he say about feminists? He was
right.
Like, there's a reason feminists aren't always pretty.
Yeah, said, guys, you never see a pretty feminist.
Oh my God.
And then he tweeted something about women only reaching their sexual peak 5 minutes after the divorce papers are signed.
Are you like, he's a horrible person. Like,
oh,
he's evil.
Yeah. He says he supports inhumane torture of terrorists. So.
Oh my God.
And also, like, you know, unsurprisingly, and this is not to say that the Bachelor producer shouldn't be casting people with opposite political views, but obviously he was an ardent supporter of Trump,
obviously,
as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as we know from the research, is often correlated with
racism
and sexism.
And, yeah, sexism.
Yeah.
And Islamophobia.
All the phobias.
All the phobias. Yeah. So this is, like, pretty gross.
That makes my blood boil. Yeah. That's, like, it's just, like, disgusting. Because, like, I think at the back of, you know, your mind, you know that this is, like, for entertainment purposes, but it just feels like disgusting to put like something that huge, like to actually, you know, put it on display and be like, that's like this person's love life and like this is hilarious. Like,
and all of these men,
her.
All of these men that he's living with.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that some black women who watch the show have been writing about, and I'm going to forget which articles I'm referring to, so I apologize in advance. But, like, the fact that the show still has this white paradigm, and when you try to fit these dynamics into it, it doesn't always capture the reality. So you have, like, these black men kind of, like, bonding by, like, roasting each other and like joking around, and the dynamic is these are the cocky guys. These are,
I think,
like,
this was Allie. I think this was Allie's recap on Vulture. If for anyone who hasn't read Allie Bartwell's recaps on Vulture, they're really excellent, and she writes really
so
wonderfully about this stuff.
Our racist perceptions and our culture mismatch to give white audiences what they expect in terms of bachelorette,
like,
drama.
That they can like swallow it better.
Yeah.
Did you guys read that New York Times article also about The Bachelorette, which I was like, The Bachelorette's in the New York Times. I was like, okay. But it was like, just because they've done this progressive thing and like she's, you know, the first black bachelorette doesn't necessarily mean they know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that like because like we're so excited for this like new conversation to be happening doesn't mean that they actually know what they're doing or know how to handle that. And I was like, that's so true. They don't know how to talk about it. They don't know how to handle it. Like, so far, race hasn't really even come up, which is also like a little, it's like, I don't know, you know, not that there's like a perfect way to handle all of this, but like, you don't have to like ignore it. Do you know what I mean? And it feels like they just like aren't sure how to go about it, you know? And
yeah, I'm hoping we're going to get, you know, maybe some more positive conversations around some of these things as she moves closer towards actually feeling like she's in relationships with some of these guys. We see like the deeper conversations happen
later,
a little later.
Yeah.
But right now it seems like we're just sort of leveraging racism for entertainment. And we did see that in the preview, and this is jumping ahead a little. In the preview for next week, that Will is going to explain to Lee that that there
is going to be very receptive.
I'm sure Lee is really open to learning about this. That was sarcastic.
We're already going to get this episode into some what I would say are beyond microaggressions from Lee, but that's kind of at the end. Let's start.
Sorry, I was jumping ahead. Let's start with the more fun stuff, like Rachel telling DeMario off again.
Oh, my God.
I loved Rachel's handling of this because she's not really giving him another chance, but I would have been so disappointed as a viewer if we didn't get to see this conversation.
If she didn't, like, walk over.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm curious. Let's see what happens.
Oh, my God.
And so he's like, this is my chance. I'm going to be 100% real with you. I'm sorry I wasn't before. But I want, like, another chance to get to know you and to date you. And there's, like, with all the joy in life comes with pain. And, like, that makes it sweeter or something, some bullshit like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She just the whole time is going,
Wait, what did he say about joy and pain?
He says, in order to experience joy, you need pain. That's one of my favorite quotes.
Like, what?
From what?
But also, what was he expecting?
From
She's like,
Pinterest.
Oh,
yeah.
So true.
She's
Come
like, yes,
back.
I need you to hit me before. Yeah. Like, what? Like, no.
That's, yeah.
It didn't make any
God.
Sense. So she,
and he's like, I can't sleep. And she's like, it's like, what did you expect? Like, she's like, oh, I didn't realize you couldn't sleep. Come
on
back.
I feel so bad for you now.
I
like,
know.
Let's get married because I just feel so bad for your broken feelings.
I know. Oh, my God.
And so she says, you know, if you'd fessed up at the moment, then I would have been like, okay, maybe you would still be in the mansion right now, but you didn't. And she says, I'm glad that you gave me the quote about the joy and the pain, and I hope the pain this brought you will bring you joy somewhere else.
So
yes.
Good.
I literally stood up and clapped.
Me too. I was yelling
apartment.
With joy
my heart
at
just,
my
like,
TV.
All over.
It was a thing of beauty. And also when she was like, I you know, I hope you can move forward, but forward is not in this mansion.
Yes.
It's outside. And I was like, yes, Rachel. Like, it was just it was incredible. She was lawyering him.
Oh.
She was like, I am like a lawyer and I will not stand for this. And it was like beautiful.
That was like the moment when she was like, my cross-examination has come to its like peak moment where I just need to body slam his argument.
And she did. She like took him to court. And
she
then
really did.
I would hire her 100%.
And it was incredible.
I feel like my happy place is watching women eviscerate terrible men on TV. So this was just like amazing.
It was incredible. I also like, I was like, how are you that articulate at that moment? Like, I just would have been like, no, bad, go. And she was just like, let me list all the reasons specifically.
I mean, usually that's what happens. And I understand when the lead is in these situations, they like, they're often like perfectly smart, funny, interesting people, but they just like melt. And they're like, I can't deal with this right now. I need, oh my God, I have
like,
to go.
That's like an exact quote, like from like JoJo Siwa, I think. Just like,
sure.
I can't deal with this. Like, I can't.
And then like heaving sobs.
Yeah.
And I support that. I understand it. But this was something
beyond. And I love that all the men were like trying to form this mob around. And she's like, guys,
I got this.
I do not need you.
Yeah.
I am fine. I have handled it.
I am fine. And she was like, in the gym, that was a boy, and I need a man. And I was like, amen. Like, oh, my God. Like, where have you been my whole life?
So good. And then so she comes back to the guys alone, obviously. And one of the guys is like, he's not coming back, is he? And she's like, fuck no.
Yeah.
And then they all, like, laugh and applaud.
So it was such a beautiful moment. And then I realized this is, like, the first season where we've seen the men in the moments consistently praise, like, strong, confident, smart women. Yeah. And I kind of love it.
That's true.
Josiah is like, she's a strong woman who takes no nonsense. She's not some high school girl.
Yeah.
She's not going to be like the girl who keeps going back to the guy who's cheating on her. She like knows what she wants. She's not here to play games.
Yeah. I love that. I just feel like she's not only like the best, like, I think she's literally like the best bachelorette that's like ever happened.
The best bachelor or bachelorette.
Just
the
like
best lead.
Hands down, but also the fact that she's the first black one, it's just perfect. Like, she's just so articulate and so, like, she is. She's just a woman, and she's just like, don't waste my time.
Also, this is what happens when you cast a 31-year-old rather than like a 24-year-old.
That's very true. She like knows what she wants, and she's not
had a
time.
Career. She's committed to that career. She's already back at work.
Yeah. Is she really?
Yes.
She went back to work?
Yes.
Okay, the fact that she even went back to work is,
I know,
like,
bow down.
She's not just selling, like,
she also tweeted last, I know, well, I'm sure, you know, maybe she'll
and
do
maybe
that too.
Will.
Yeah, it's just that fine. Get your side hustle. But she also tweeted last night, the theme of tonight is boy bye.
Oh, my God. Because it was.
She's so good.
Because it was.
Okay, on to the cocktail party.
The tickle monster brings out two
poor Jonathan.
Hideous. Just. It looks like they took little AJ's hands, blew them up mm-hmm. to 10 times their size, and then put them on Jonathan.
And then he like kind of like suffocated her with them.
Yeah. She's weirdly amused by little gimmicks. Like, I think when she finds someone sweet, non-threatening, and goofy, she's like, she's obviously not going to marry the guy, but she's also not in a hurry to kick, like, him off because he's sweet.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, Tickle Monster is harmless.
Yeah.
So, like, he could be on Sesame Street. Like, he's fine.
Maybe that's his calling, actually. Although he's a doctor. He's a doctor.
Wait, what?
Yes.
He's a doctor.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
I did not know that
Poor guy.
Poor guy that, like, he spends, like, 8 years in medical school, and then on The Bachelorette, he is Tickle Monster.
I mean, I have to say, he brought it on himself.
Yeah, he chose that choice.
Yeah, you do not tickle a woman without her consent. Like, you deserve your fate.
With giant hands.
Yeah.
I almost feel like he did the hands as a little, like, joke. Like, wasn't it weird that I tickled you? But it's too late. That's his whole identity. And now he's just playing into it.
You led with that.
Alex, she talks to Alex, and he's, like, sort of solving a Rubik's Cube while they talk. And it's amazing. She's like, he's so smart. He's both talking to me and solving a Rubik's Cube, which he then doesn't solve. And also,
he just owns a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, he has a Rubik's Cube, and he can sit there and play with it while she is talking.
Which is multitasking.
In a way. Like, it really is.
But wasn't that, like, in his intro video, he was like, I'm really smart, and that was also his example? Oh, yeah, he codes. I actually, well, we'll get to this, but I actually, like, am now a fan of Alex.
Me too. Yeah. I was going to say he's really grown on me this episode.
He for sure grew on me. And so I was, at this point in the episode, though, judging him for holding the Rubik's Cube. And then by the end, I was like, oh, he can probably solve that. Like, he's smart.
Yeah, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
Will got a cute little.
They're playing basketball. Like,
I'm into
basketball.
Will. Will also grew
on
me.
I like Will too.
He's really charming.
And
I might have
playful.
Gotten something to eat while that happened. What happened?
It was a little aside. They were like playing with one of those like children's basketball.
Oh, and then they like made out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught that part.
And it was like a good kiss. It looks good to me.
Into Will. I'm into Will.
Yeah, I like him too.
She sits down with Lucas. Every time that she has time with Lucas.
Wait, which one's Lucas?
Waboom.
Oh.
Every time she has time with Waboom, she approaches it in this way that's very, like, practical. Like, we need to get this time done. This is part of the show. Let's do this. Have a hug. Okay. And he's gets an opportunity to address what Blake said about him last episode.
Aspiring drummer.
Blake, the aspiring drummer, slash sex god.
Slash personal trainer.
Yeah.
And
so many jobs.
Lucas is like, listen, we had a great night. I don't know why he said that stuff. I think maybe he just doesn't like me. And she's like, why doesn't he like you? And he says, well, I think he has a crush on me.
Because he peels a banana and eats it
he said,
over my bed while I'm sleeping.
Yeah, he's like, I woke up and He was like standing over me, like holding a banana and like licking it and like peeling it. Oh, and then he ate God. It. And Rachel's like, are you fucking with me right now? Or like, is this a thing? And he's like, no, it's real. And she's like, well, did Blake finish the banana?
Yeah, that was my favorite question. Oh my God.
She like really took it all. Like, she was like, I'm really gonna treat this like a serious, like an actual yeah. conversation and ask a follow up question yeah. to the banana.
Also, it was like such a lawyer people. Move. She was like, I'm gonna hear the evidence
hear
on
it.
Both sides.
If he was really eating banana, then Lucas would know whether he finished it or not.
And then she's like, I gotta hear Blake's side now.
About
Blake
the banana.
Has a great defense, guys. Blake
he
points out.
Doesn't eat carbs.
That was his job. He was like, first of all, I would never eat a banana because I don't eat carbs. And she's like, I think at that moment she was like, this
like,
is
done,
on another
done.
Level. Yeah, she was like, if we're discussing your carb free diet while Waboom is sleeping, like it's a job.
It was
too much.
Because she was just like, he was like, she's going to be so impressed by this answer. We can laugh together about my ketogenic diet.
Yeah.
And instead she's like, what about the standing over his bed part? To be clear, I'm pretty sure that Lucas made the entire thing up, also because he went on Kimmel and basically admitted that he made it up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, of course. Like, it was just so, it was so.
Yeah, it was insane.
You could see, like, the wheels turning, too. He was like, and then I woke up. And he was,
it was
eating
a banana.
Like, what scenario is that?
He was like, how would a guy show that he has a crush on another guy?
Right.
Probably by licking a banana while creepily watching him sleep.
He's like, we all know that's the first step.
Yes. And then you replace the banana with well, we'll get into that later.
Dating.
Oh my first God. Comes banana, then comes love.
Oh yeah, exactly. Those are the steps. It was just, I just thought it was so funny that she, like, took it seriously enough to, like, actually be like, can you speak to this?
I just wonder at what point did she go to the producers and say, look, I've played your games.
Yeah.
I have kept these people around. Will you please let
She's
me send
like,
them
I'm
home?
I'm a grown woman, yeah. and I'm talking about bananas. Like, when did this go wrong?
I feel like when Nick came on, and sometimes people like us were like, he's going to be like a producer. He's going to get the good TV because he knew the show so well.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what Rachel is doing, though. She's like,
she knows.
While they're here, I'm going to let them talk about the banana. I'm going to ask follow-up questions about the banana. I'm going to, you know, play into it, and then they're just going to go.
Right, like, and
I'm
then not... they're going to go directly at – that's what I love, too, is, like, she didn't just keep them around one more. She was like, and now you've had your fun.
Yeah.
And, like, I think we're all done with Waboom bananas drumming.
She was like, what more can come of this that hasn't already been – as good as it could be.
This is true, Wait, I know you guys totally talked about this last week, but, like, so what? Okay, so Waboom is roommates with Blake's girlfriend?
The opposite.
No, opposite. Blake used to be roommates
with Lucas's ex.
That is so
They were
weird.
All on another – the three of them were all on another reality show.
Are you kidding?
Called Exile.
It was quite
a mess. I can't. Like, it's just too much. I also loved aspiring drummer saying, I know where he lives. He lives in my town. I was like, your town is Los Angeles. Like, millions of people live in your town.
He was like, we live in the same city. I can't get away from it. Listen, dude.
Like, I think you can.
Yeah, I go – years in New York without seeing my friends.
You're fine. It's not like a one horse town. Like, you can avoid him.
Rose ceremony time. Dean, Peter, and Josiah, I think, already have roses.
Yes.
Brian, Bryce get roses. Bryce says, with an open heart, when she offers him the rose, I hate him. I'm sorry.
Wait, which one? Bryce?
He's the firefighter who had the transphobic thing on his bio, so I can't really get past that.
What?
He was like, my worst date fear is that the girl will turn out to be a dude.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Also, he keeps doing stuff like when she offers him the rose, he'll be like, with honor or something. Like,
you're
shut
like,
up.
Stop.
Eric, Anthony, Will, Jack, Matt, Alex, Adam, Kenny, Brady, Lee, Iggy, Fred. And we get to the final rose. Is it going to be Blake or Lucas? And it's Diggy.
Diggy, thank goodness.
I was like, please choose Diggy.
Okay, I just think she's not that into him, and he'll probably go home next week because he's
so
got.
Cute.
But he's so
really
cute.
And he loves fashion.
I love his bow ties, and I love his glasses.
And his
I know
glasses.
I've said this every week, but like,
I at least want him to get a chance to be on Paradise. And he hasn't.
Yes.
Yeah, there has to be on longer or make more of a split. I know.
I mean, he commits.
Yes.
He commits to fashion choices.
When Diggy is chosen, Lucas says, sad day. Sad day in Paradise.
Sad day in Paradise.
Lucas is like, it's great because I've packed my bags for Bachelor in Paradise already.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, how can I throw in Paradise to this moment?
And I'm pretty sure it's been confirmed that Lucas is...
Are you serious?
Going. I think Blake might be as well.
And also not getting a rose is Jamie, the guy with perfect facial features and a $2,000 suit.
She sent home three terrible white men this week. So well done.
It was fine. No one was crying.
Okay.
Okay. So now we get to a part where we're gonna need a little help from Vella.
Vella, as an actor, we just thought it might be a beautiful moment for you to show off your skills and do a dramatic reading of some of Blake and Lucas's final showdown.
I have been waiting for this moment all my life. Oh, my gosh.
So this is just a select part. This was a very extended back and forth that they had.
Heated argument.
Basically, Blake approaches Lucas while they're both doing their in-the-moment interviews as they exit.
We can see, the producers in their, zip-up parkas just standing there, lighting.
Blake comes over and, claps him on the shoulder and is like, listen, I just want to tell you.
Fuck you.
You were
with his arm around him
reasons.
The whole time.
And then we come to this incredible portion.
Okay, Blake, because you were busy wabooming, I'm going home. You win, Lucas. Waboom. Lucas, the thing is, it's not about winning. It's about the world, brother. And you have no idea what the world needs. Blake, you're the waboom clown. I'm the nice gentleman. Lucas, go back to your protein shakes. Go back to your steroids. Blake, I'm just going to let you speak for yourself. Lucas, get back to your garbage clown life. Blake, my clown life? Because I'm a clown? Lucas, no, I'm a clown. Because I can be funny. You don't even know what funny looks like. Blake, funny is not waboom. Waboom is like waka waka. Pie in the face. Waka waka. Honk honk. Fart joke. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
That was beautiful.
Wow. I think they should write plays. I feel like Blake especially has such an insight into the English language. I felt emotional just reading that.
This was a really beautiful moment in Bachelorette history.
Truly.
Top 10, I'd say.
Oh, truly, truly. My roommate was like, this is just a great thing for white guys everywhere. the fact that this is happening is just...
I saw someone tweet a GIF in response to it that was Titus from Kimmy Schmidt just saying, what white nonsense is this?
It was white nonsense. It is the definition. It was just crazy. I didn't understand what was happening, truly, while it was happening.
They were clearly very drunk.
Clearly very drunk. If, the point in an argument is waka waka. I was like, what? Is that Fozzie Bear? What are you talking about?
I don't know enough about comedy to even, the history of comedy. Yeah. You know what we saw when Blake came on Kimmel also?
Lucas.
Or, yes, Lucas. Oh, my God.
Why didn't Blake get invited?
Well, because I don't know.
He didn't have a waboom.
He didn't have an Ace Ventura impression, which is what we found out on Kimmel is what Lucas has in his back pocket.
And our coworker also mentioned she knows someone who knows Lucas, and apparently he is obsessed with Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I kind of was getting those vibes.
Yeah. It all really makes sense.
Yeah. What was the thing in the mask? Jim Carrey had a thing.
Right.
That was not waboom.
The problem is Lucas is untalented.
No, it's not. He doesn't need to be doing any of this stuff. Leave that to Jim Carrey.
And then we get to the next group date. Mm-hmm. Lights, camera, action. Come join me on the set of Ellen. So we saw this date already, but we'll still talk about it.
Yeah, so it's Brian, Jonathan, who's Tickle Monster, Peter, Alex, Will, and Fred. And it was funny watching this back because I watched the clip like four times.
Oh, because it was on Ellen probably like a while ago.
Yeah. But now it's intercut. We had one game that we didn't see on Ellen and also all the guys' commentary. And now that we kind of know them a little bit, it was funny to watch it back.
They all know more about Ellen than I do. They were all like, yeah, we're going to have to take off our shirts and dance for money. And I was wait, what?
I was shocked when that happened. I was
Apparently
it's a thing.
It's a thing? On the show. I don't watch daytime TV.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I love Ellen so much.
Oh, I love her. I love her so much.
And I knew that my love in her was just really affirmed the minute that Rachel was like, yeah, that guy tickled me when he came out of the limo. And Ellen's like deadpan reaction was, I don't like that. Why is he still here?
Yeah. She was like, no. She's invested. Yeah. She's fully invested at this point. I thought it was like, it was kind of, well, okay, so my first reaction was like, oh, good for Brian and Peter that they didn't say that they kissed her at first. And then that was broken literally like 2 seconds later.
Yeah, the literal second that Brian had an opportunity to be
like.
Yeah,
he was like, I did it.
He was like, yeah, it was me. I put my mouth on her.
I know. And I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah. And then Peter or Will
then
points
Will
out,
says, I second that. And then Brian says, you got my sloppy seconds.
Wait, so did Peter say anything?
No.
Okay, no. Peter was standing much further away from
the mic. That's true. But Peter was so classy. Peter played it. I actually think that Alex won the Ellen show. Like, I thought that Alex was, like, so sweet and honest and just himself. So he won, but Peter, like, was...
He was playing the long game.
He was playing the long game. He was so classy. I looked over because Alex was, like, fully at, like, a strip show, like, in his shirtless dancing. And Peter was just, like, kind of dancing with some moms, like, in a cute way. And I was like, I feel like that is, like... That's the end game, but like Alex, it was very entertaining.
That's the guy you want to be at a wedding with, like yours or someone else's.
Yeah. You don't want to be like, oh, my like husband or whatever is like grinding on some grandmas. Yeah.
I think Alex secured himself, like he was charming and funny and honest.
He was awesome.
He'll go decently far. He'll make it like at least midway.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll be the final one. So also, Brian. Did, because a lot of people reacted, understandably, pretty poorly to him referring to Rachel as someone's sloppy second.
Yeah, that was...
It was not a great moment. It was really not. He posted on Instagram a screenshot and said something to the effect of, like, oh, my God, the fireball. So it seems that they were pretty drunk. And then I saw Fred respond and said, oh, my God, we were so drunk, like, cry face.
Got
emoji.
It. Okay, that makes a little more sense. Yeah.
It does make a little more sense.
He seemed a little bit ashamed is what I'm saying, which makes me think,
That makes it better. Because I was like, good for them. They, like, kissed her, but they're not, like, putting her on blast. And then he was like, I did it. You took it from me. And I was like, oh, no.
Her mouth tastes like candy.
Oh, my God.
So then they play Never Have I Ever.
I loved this part.
Peter and Alex are the only ones who say they've never thought about having sex with Rachel. I felt so bad for Jonathan in this moment because he's getting such the dork at it, which...
Wait, which one's Jonathan?
Tickle Monster. Okay. So and he is a dork, but, like, he's with all these, like, studs who are, like... And then they cut to him being like, I don't know, Rachel's like a beautiful girl. And like, if you say you've never thought about having sex with her,
I mean,
like,
he's probably right.
Totally right. But like, and I'm sure that he felt very comfortable saying that in the moment because he's right. Mm-hmm. But the way that they edit it just makes him look like such a like
dweeb.
Just like, I have thought that.
Yeah.
I have those feelings.
Right. They basically juxtaposed it with like, well, obviously he'll never get the chance to. Look at this dork who said he thought about it.
Thinks he could
when
get
like
her.
In reality, he's probably a totally nice guy.
He's a doctor who loves to tickle.
He's probably fine.
There's got to be someone who's into that out there.
It's just not Rachel.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's cool.
And Alex admits, is the only one who says he's peed in the pool at the house. And Will says, I'm never getting in that pool again. He's a big boy. There's not enough chlorine in the world to kill that.
I thought both Will and Alex were hilarious.
They were great.
And Alex, in his in the moment later, is like, I answered really honestly, which I'm very embarrassed about now. But I just want her to know, like, I'm going to be real.
I bet all of them have peed in the pool.
Yeah, like, whatever.
He's just the only one that admitted to it.
I'm going to say this now, and I'm volunteering it so that you know it's true. I've never peed in a pool. I don't get it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It just makes me uncomfortable to think of, like, the warmth spreading around my legs. And,
you really don't want to think about it.
Also, like, if you're in a pool, usually there's a bathroom nearby, like in an ocean.
Full disclosure, I went through a period of time where I was like peeing all around New York City. Like, I felt no, I guess I'm the opposite of pee shy. Like, I was like, I have the right to pee on this tree.
That explains so much about the way the city smells.
Yeah, it's me.
So we're just getting really honest, too, because we appreciate
Alex. I'm having my Ellen moment.
Yeah. We appreciate Alex's
I appreciated it.
They ask if anyone has ever hooked up with a woman twice their age, and Fred is the only one.
Fred.
Rachel says Frederick has a thing for older women. Go figure.
I really like Fred, and I felt so bad for him.
Sweet. And I thought that moment was so beautiful when he was like, I've known her since kindergarten, and I've had a crush on her the whole time. I was like, that is such a sweet, like, it's a sweet moment, and they've known each other for a long time. I don't know. It was really special.
I totally get that she just was never into it and cannot get over the fact that she knew him as a kid. That's fine. I still felt sympathy for him because he seems like a genuinely together guy who's very kind.
He's really handsome.
The thing is, I think it's just one of those things that, like, I'm thinking about back on kids I've babysat. I could never.
No.
I could never date someone I've babysat.
I was a camp counselor. I definitely get it. If you have seen someone grow up, even if you're close in age, there's just a weirdness there that's really hard to push
you past. Just can't get by it. Yeah. But, like, I get how he can because in his mind, she was always a woman. Like, she was always a figure of, like, you know, probably like, I'm sure Rachel was a sophisticated 12-year-old, you know? And he was probably like, oh my God, she's amazing. But it's like, it doesn't go both ways.
Yeah.
I just felt so bad for him.
This moment was terrible. Right. Like, she brings up on Alan again that he was so bad. And she says he was just mischievous, which, like, isn't that big of a deal. And he's getting tired of it. He's been really gracious about it. And he says, this girl is so deeply rooted in my soul that I can't even go a day or go to sleep or wake up without thinking of her. It's not the same for me as it is for the other guys.
Oh,
my heart just, like, broke.
Fred.
And he was also just like, I was a kid.
Like, I know. I totally got where Fred was coming from.
I got both of them. I could get both sides. And it was just this really unfortunate situation.
Although, what do we think Fred did as a camper?
It's got to be something more.
It was something bad. Like,
it must have been bad.
Yeah. Like, the girl, my friend Jess, who, like, runs our, like, fantasy league, because I'm on a fantasy league.
Of course.
Full disclosure. She's just always like, what? Like, what does, like, being a bad camper mean? Like, what is
this
thing?
That's what I was trying to think. Like, who?
Does,
like,
it just mean, like, pulling print? Like, you know, you put your friend's hand in warm water.
I think
some kids are genuinely
bad.
But she said he was mischievous.
I know. Yeah. Who knows?
Which makes it seem like maybe he was just, like, a real handful. And she's like, she was always having problems.
And just annoyed by him.
Yeah.
Mystery. Yeah. He seems like a really nice guy, but it's just it's rare on The Bachelor, especially this early on, that you see such a really sad case of unrequited love.
Well, especially because it's been going on longer.
Like,
it was like we caught the tail end of it, but it has been going on since he was a bad camper.
So let's just talk really briefly about Fred's exit, because I feel like this just goes nicely into it in the night portion.
He's trying to make his move.
And he asks if he can kiss her. And she reacts really poorly to it.
Not well.
Yeah. And this is something, you know, people on Twitter were sort of going back and forth about it, saying like, hey, we wish this had been presented in a better light because consent is a good thing.
Oh, well, totally. I think it's that gray area of dating where, like, it's, yes, there are, like, consent is a good thing, but like it's a must have.
Yes, but, necessary.
No, just saying, it's
yeah. Let's start from the premise that consent is necessary.
We need consent, but like you know, I can see how like you want a kiss to happen seamlessly, or you want it to be like this unspoken moment of consent where like. It's two adults being like, we want to do this together. Yeah. And I guess she was responding to the fact that it was a little awkward.
Right. And what I was saying is thinking last night is like, these things are so situational. And she felt awkward because she already felt awkward in the situation. And she didn't want to be romantic with him.
I think there can also be like, and I totally get where Fred is coming from and I support it. I think it's great to ask for permission and I think that there is, like, a way to do it that seems confident and that's clearly what she wants.
Yes.
And he was sort of like, can I? And she was like,
I don't know.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to do it. But first I'm, like, going to kind of say something and then, like, lunge at you and then, like, pull away and finish saying it.
It was very awkward and clearly not meant to be. And... You know,
I would have been into it, frankly. Like, my standards are not that high.
But I think also, like, if you think of Rachel's mind, what she's seeing is, like, a 12-year-old. So, like, if a 12-year-old was like, can I kiss you? You'd be like, I don't know. Like, probably what's going through her mind is, like, are you of age? Like, can you, like, you know.
Can you even do – have you done that?
Yeah, so and I got where she was coming from.
Ben Higgins – so I was listening to Ben and Ashley I's new podcast this morning on my way in. Yeah, no, it's great.
Oh, my God.
And Ben was talking about how actually in his first kiss with Lauren that he had asked, he's like, and look at me, it went pretty well. Like, and you know, and like genuinely, he was being earnest. Like he was like,
I mean, it did go well.
And that's, I think like proves my point that like, if you are into someone and they ask, then it's perceived
it's
as
cute
and fun 100%. And you love it.
Like,
100%. It's more like he was trying to force a moment that wasn't there by asking.
Yeah. Right. And it wasn't either of their faults. It was just like an unfortunately awkward moment.
It's like when like a friend is like, doesn't like someone and they're like, and then he called me and he texted. And you're like, if you were into that,
you'd
person,
be like, oh my God, like, he called. It was so nice.
Yeah. It's like, it completely is situational. Exactly what you're saying.
And then Rachel, she grabs the group date rose when she dumps him.
I like, this is the first time I think that I've been like, Rachel, why would you
like,
do that?
I get that it was convenient. Like, maybe. Like, she was like, I'll grab it and then do this. And
I think the producers ask her to do it. Because they often do that on group dates. They pick up the rose, then they're like, actually, bye. And then they, like, why did they have it?
Right.
So she takes him into another room while holding the rose. And she says the kiss was like a boy was kissing her.
She was, like, rubbing salt in the wound
I know.
At that point.
She was, like, explaining it, but, like, in the, like, it. Poor Fred. And he handled it so gracefully.
He did. I wrote, like, this was a very mature breakup. And she ends by saying, like, you know, I think you're great and I wish you the best. And he says, like, I think you're great, too.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, I can't force her. I can't force the connection.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really mature and gracious.
On both of their parts. Also, do you remember how he said, like, when he kissed her, he saw saw, like, them at their wedding?
It was so sad.
He's like, I saw her in the dress and me in a tuxedo or something.
He's like, no, don't say it, Fred.
And then, like, 2 seconds later.
Yeah. Which we knew was going to happen.
He thought he was getting the rose even before she picked it up. He was like, I'm excited to get the rose because I know she felt it, too. And, like, that moment. But he, like, even when Blake got sent home at the rose ceremony, he went up to Rachel and was like, you didn't really give me a chance because of Lucas, and that sucks. And Fred was just like, what's the point? Like,
he took it.
I can't make her give me a chance. That's how she feels. And that was very mature.
It was just so sad.
It was so sad.
We're going to take a little break, but we'll be right back to keep discussing the episode with Bella.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear. Like
maybe on a date night or something, and they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Before we get back to the show, we want to tell you about a new podcast from HuffPost. It's called IVFML, and we're going to play the trailer right now. But stick around. After Feminism Fails, we will do a chat with our colleague and the host of IVFML, Anna Almendrala.
Coming soon from HuffPost, a new podcast. It's called IVFML, a story about what it's like to be infertile, following one couple on an uncertain journey toward parenthood.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Simon.
We've been married for 6 years and everything's been super good.
Awesome. Great to hear that.
But there's been one big sort of headline problem.
We're infertile.
We were so goddamn happy. I remember you gave me this phone call. You just said, baby, 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 baby. You just said that like 100 times on the phone. I was so excited. And I just remember walking around the block in circles.
Yeah, at that point, it had already been 1.5 years since we'd been trying.
Fuck, it had already been 1.5 years?
Yeah.
Fuck.
But our mission didn't work. Our happy feelings lasted about 48 hours. There's something really wrong. There's something really wrong with this pregnancy.
I remember stuffing my phone in my pocket and all the emotion dropping out of the ultrasound tech's voice as she called for the doctor.
I remember thinking, why the hell did I tell so many people about this?
Why the hell did I tell so many people? Why the hell did I tell so many people? Why the hell did I tell so many people? Why the hell did I tell so many people? Why the hell did I tell so many people?
IVFML, a new HuffPost podcast. 5 episodes that we're releasing all at once. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, now back to the show.
So were there any other standout moments for the
rose?
Right. Okay, so.
Oh, I thought that was a great, like, that was on, like, Alex definitely became, I, like, became a fan of Alex during this group date. Like, I loved what he said about eyes.
I feel like that was way made up. Am I wrong?
Like, I liked
how
it.
How can that be real?
I've been thinking about it ever since. Like, did he say that it was, he was like, was it that she looks out of his left eye, her left eye, or she looks at his left
at
eye?
At his left eye.
So that, like, when someone's looking at your left eye and they're like, because now I'm like thinking about
whom?
It. Left, it's like if I'm looking at your left eye, Claire, I'm thinking from my, like, feeling brain. But now that I'm looking at your right eye, I'm thinking logically.
But this is my left eye.
Oh, you're right.
Right? Like, what? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
It seemed really smart at the time, and I was like,
I bought
wow.
it. I know. I totally fell for it.
No, I was instantly like, that is some right. new age bullshit.
No, this is – no. Sorry, okay. Looking at their –
looking
their
at
their left indicates that they're reminiscing. Like, there's a thing
are
about
myths.
This.
Like,
I don't know.
I don't think there's any science behind that. Listen, whatever.
It could be. I bought it. I was into like, it. Totally. Alex knows about eyes and emotion.
Look, if I were on a date and a guy said that to me, I might give him some shit. But it's something. It's interesting. You know.
It's interesting.
Like,
yeah.
And she's she sees different
something
layers.
More interesting than like I think you're amazing.
And yeah. I can do a Rubik's cube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, good for Alex.
He also said that he feels comfortable in a lot of awkward situations, but that he's still nervous with her. And he'll take the butterflies.
It was so cute. I thought he completely deserved that group rose.
Side note, we didn't get a lot of Peter this episode, but as you said, he was playing the long game. And did anyone else notice how intense their hug was?
She was like on him during their one-on-one time.
She really likes him.
And she was like, what did she – she was like, I'm never going to get up or something. And I was like, oh, Peter. Yep. Also, I don't know why I just noticed that he has, like, salt and pepper hair.
Yeah.
I think I thought it was, like, light brown.
It looks light brown in some lights.
Oh, that for some reason took it to another level.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I love that. I love that he has gray hair.
So beautiful.
He's gorgeous. Yeah.
Okay.
So many gaps.
One-on-one date. Anthony is told to meet Rachel at the rodeo.
Anthony.
It's Rodeo Drive, but also they're riding horses.
This was a weird date. I don't like any date that involves shopping.
And I don't think it was necessarily a good date for Anthony, who's so...
kind of shy.
Shy, kind of intellectual, solid sort of guy. And they're doing this sort of funky, like...
go into stores on horses and then, like, eat
horses. Forcing
horse
the horses
cupcakes.
To go into the stores. The horses are like... what?
The horse pooped moved. In, like, a nice store.
Of course they did. God. Horses don't, like, wait to go to the bathroom. They're, like, it's coming.
I don't care that I'm in Cartier.
Yeah.
I'm pooping.
Also, Rachel says something like, so Beverly Hills. I was like, really, I've been to Beverly Hills. There wasn't horse shit in the store.
I do love when bachelorettes and bachelors say stuff like that, where they're like, this is something you can only do in Beverly Hills because we are literally in Beverly Hills. And where else can you be in Beverly Hills but in Beverly, like, you know, there's nothing else about it that was particularly unique.
Right, Beverly Hills. This is true, especially the horses. Although I was thinking, I was like, what if you were with, like, someone who you had, like, so much fun with and you were on an actual horse going down Rodeo Drive? Like, it would actually be kind of fun, but, like, it felt insane.
I just feel like they hadn't spent enough time together
Maybe
to make it
was.
Fun.
Like, they needed to, like, also, have like, had another thing.
Yeah. I went horseback riding on my honeymoon, and it was extremely fun, and I'm like... I really just want to ride horses all the time now. But I didn't get to, like, interact with my husband a lot during that.
Exactly.
It keeps a little distance between you. You're interacting with the horse. Yeah. It's about the horse.
It's about the horse.
And he has all these photos of me where I just look like I'm miserable because I'm, like, concentrating on the horse.
Yeah.
And, like, trying to get the horse to go where I, like, had an amazing time. But, like, it wasn't very interactive
for us. It's a date with
us.
You and the horse.
Yes.
Not with you and the other person.
Yeah, they were really bonding with those horses. Yeah. The only time they really got to speak was when they were feeding the horses horse cupcakes from the Sprinkles ATM.
We had a listener
you don't
question
do that,
about that.
Emma?
I know. You know. I mean, I haven't before. But
anytime you go to a Sprinkles cupcake ATM, just hit the horse button. Yeah.
Well, they have different, like, they have, like, cat cupcakes, dog cupcakes.
Cat
know.
Cupcakes
like
are just raw meat.
Yeah.
It's just the only thing cats are allowed to eat. So they conveniently sell horse cupcakes at this ATM,
yeah,
even
so
though
convenient.
There are no other horses ever in Beverly Hills.
Thank goodness they found that.
A listener asked, can horses eat these cupcakes? Answer, yes.
Yes. Okay. So we looked it up and Romper did this deep dive for us. And apparently horse cupcakes are just like molasses and grain and like honey
and shredded
carrots.
So right. the horses
plus baking,
were not harmed.
Plus like flour. Yeah.
No
yeah.
Horses.
So
the horses are
the
dead
horses
now.
Yeah. Are, the horses are fine and it's also fine for humans to eat
horse cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Well, so we're all good. We're all good. We all learned something here.
Yeah. And I just want to say I'm really glad for everyone that the horses didn't urinate in the store because that you would never be able to.
We're talking a lot about
everywhere.
Pee this episode.
I also learned that you can't show horse poo on network television.
But they showed the cow manure when they shoveled it.
Yeah. Why was horse poo like, that's not cool?
Maybe it was like the juxtaposition of the nice store and the poop that was like so obscene.
They were like, we cannot. Yeah.
This is too jarring.
Yeah. This is...
So we got a little bit more of Anthony.
Rooftop dinner.
In the second half of the date, which I was like, I felt good for him that he got some actual screen time to actually speak.
Anthony is one of those ones. I read his bio before and I was like, this guy. He just
a Fulbright scholar.
He's a Fulbright scholar. His favorite movie is Moonlight. You're good.
You are a good egg.
I didn't realize he was so shy. He's very shy and reserved. Which I think
see
is
him
sweet.
As kind of a dark horse person because he takes a little while to get to know.
And I like that. I like that he's not wabooming all over the place. Yes. He's just I'm Anthony.
I had a childhood rich in love and I just want to help people.
I just want to spread that love and help kids and watch Moonlight.
Yes. The more he spoke and the more the camera really closed in on his face, I was like, hey, this man is attractive.
He is also just
he
beautiful.
He is very beautiful and should be a model. And also, he is great.
He's kind of my pick.
And she gives him the rose. They dance to sort of a jazz quartet.
I was so relieved for them that they didn't have to have some real, fourth Someone rate, singing. Country star.
I know that they have to be I love Benny Johnson. Yeah. No one knows who Benny Johnson is.
And meanwhile, Eric is back at the house with the guys.
Mm-hmm. So Eric is
getting
very insecure this episode, which understandably, I think this happens to people who spend a few weeks in the house, don't get to get out of the house that much. I think last week, did he not have a date?
I think he did have a date.
Oh, he did, because he was on the basketball date.
I just don't think
he hasn't really gotten
handles the situation.
He's spiraling. Well. There's always one on next season, it was, now I can't remember her name, the cheerleader. You know what I mean? The professional, she was a
Carol
Dallas
was a
Cowboy?
Professional cheerleader?
Yeah. Oh, Jasmine.
Jasmine.
Oh, yeah. She got Jasmine very spiraled. Anxious.
It's always one person who just starts being I haven't seen them in a while.
And then
I'm
towards the end,
crazy.
Vanessa also got
yeah,
super
Vanessa
anxious.
Was spiraled. Yeah, and it's so understandable, but I was that's what's happening to him.
Definitely. He's I don't know where she's at. I think we have a connection, but also not. Yeah. He was we have a deep connection, but not an emotional one. And I need the chemistry, but we do have a physical connection. I was
What are you talking about?
Who knows? Sometimes I'm he goes off kind of on his own.
Yeah, I think he does.
I think it's a spiral.
Iggy decided to get in on this conversation without being invited.
He's so sweaty all the time. I always am poor Iggy.
But does look better in glasses.
Yeah.
His glasses were great.
Yeah, he looks great. He has a good sense of fashion. Yeah. Someone needs to just dab a
There's
little
There's always one or two who get a little shiny.
The lights, yeah.
I'm very sweaty, so
I would probably be that person.
Yeah. So am
my makeup
for sure.
will be running down my face. But so he tries to get in and be like, I feel like you're questioning Rachel and that's fucked up. That's not okay. And Anthony and Bryce are just kind of sitting there what's going on? And Eric kind of blows him. He's like, you weren't invited to talk about this. Why are you inserting yourself?
This conversation got unnecessarily
aggressive.
Heated.
Yeah, but why?
But why? I feel like Iggy should have stayed out of it. I feel like Eric should have stayed calmer.
Right. I think it was kind of on both of them. I understand why it would be frustrating and annoying to have someone insert themselves in the middle of your conversation
and pass
judgment on you.
I was who are you?
And then I think Eric was already kind of wound pretty tightly and sort of just took that out on Iggy.
He did happen to be saying, that, Rachel, he felt she's never going to, say to someone's face, I'm not into you. So it's not that he was saying that she was fake.
We know that's not true.
Right. Exactly. From the friend.
I think he was speaking to the general format of the
of
show,
the show. He was
more
just
than
saying,
her character.
Right. He was just saying you kind of have to, present a face to the world so you don't necessarily know where you're at. Right? Is that kind of what
I think so. That's
think
what he
was
getting
at. I think he was presenting
at.
It in not the
great way.
Best way.
He just didn't
the other
say
guys
it in the best
were
way.
Also ready
it.
To see the worst. I also appreciated, Bryce and Anthony were just sitting there, and then you get a cutaway of Josiah just looking over his shoulder and walking upstairs away from it.
Oh, I didn't see that. He was
There were a few of the men whose, tactic towards avoiding drama is just to literally get up and move away. And it was really smart.
I get it.
And I love
applaud.
That you see the difference between Josiah doing the fun jousting and getting a little cocky, but when there's real fighting, he's I'm not here. This is not me.
He's and I'm out.
Then we get the next group date card.
And Anthony did that too, didn't he? He kind of stood up in his adorable sweatpants and was goodbye.
Good sweatpants, man. They make the world go round. Sometimes in relationships, the women have to take charge. And immediately all the guys are like,
Charge the credit card.
I
was like, no, stop.
Oh my God, I forgot. This episode was epic. I forgot about this.
Yeah.
So this date was Brady, Dean, Adam, Kenny, Bryce, Lee, Jack, and Eric. So that's an odd mix. It's a little bit, again, of like the B team in my mind, minus maybe Dean and Eric.
What about Kenny?
I don't think
Kenny's
she's
middling.
Into Kenny.
Really? I think she likes Kenny as a person, but I don't think she's into him. I think it's also the pre-paradise team.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and here's what happens.
Probably.
Ladies taking charge means that Rachel brought in Raven, Corinne, Jasmine, and Alexis
and we
to
know
plan the date.
All four of them are going on Paradise.
So
are
this
you serious?
Was the date where they got to scout their future.
Their girl picks.
Oh, and so they take them on a party bus. They get all the guys to like strip and like pole dance. And meanwhile, Raven is asking Bryce and Lee, she's sitting between, who they think is wrong for Rachel, and they both say Eric. And they're like, oh, Rachel's really excited about Eric, which I didn't really know.
Yeah. I think, well, at the beginning, if you remember when the girls were last there, they were like, oh, we really liked Eric because of his dance. Like, he was super charming on After the Final Rose.
They sort of indicated it was, like, at the beginning of this date, but, like, maybe not. But they come to a saloon, and there's mud wrestling set up.
So did Rachel not know that that was happening?
Not at that point.
Okay.
And also, I mean, let's be clear, they did not, these girls did not plan the date. No. And Rachel knows they did not plan the date.
I hope they didn't, because this was,
oh God.
The guys all have to change into little matching shorties, and there are women all around this mud wrestling ring. And
who are these women?
They're like cue cards, and you can tell.
And they're just like, show us your junk.
Woo!
Get
in a very intense way.
Yeah, it was like, oh.
Junk.
I was like, stop.
Like, calm down. Who are you?
No one said it in the cadence of someone who was thinking of their own words. They were like, show us your butt. Yeah. Woo!
Show us your butt now. And I was like, who is this woman? We don't know anything
about her. Like, random white lady to the left.
I know. They were like, who's willing to scream this? You will be on TV.
Yeah, she was like, I'll do it. This is my moment.
And at that point, they were done, because there's nothing a guy can show you other than his butt and his junk that isn't already revealed by their wrestling outfit.
Yeah. And all that mud.
Brady and Bryce wrestle. Bryce wins.
Oh, right, because Bryce wrestled with his brothers.
Dean beats Eric.
Kenny beats Jack. And
Kenny beats Lee. I don't know. And then it's Bryce versus Kenny, and Bryce ekes out a win against the pro wrestler.
I was like, is Kenny going to recover? Like, I was like, this
poor
is all
Kenny.
Tied up in his ego, and he, like, needs to win, and then
he
didn't
took it
win.
Fine.
But he was fine.
They were all, they were none impressive. Of them were taking it too seriously, which I thought was good.
Yeah, I think it's also worth, like, I think Kenny did not seem like he was going 100 on that final
That's
round.
That's probably true.
But pro wrestling is a performance.
It's performance.
And he's probably used to losing these things and just being like,
it's fine.
This is part of the game.
Oh, yeah.
I also really enjoyed that they made them do the in the moments caked in mud as it was drying.
I
and
know,
they all
like,
looked like
they looked like
zombies.
Monsters.
Yeah, it was
so
like,
funny.
Where is your face? Like, oh my God.
It was so amazing.
It was good.
Nighttime, they're all showered up. The girls are gone. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, they've told Rachel.
Oh, the girls talked to Rachel, and they said they liked Adam and Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And Raven says, I just so you know, I asked around, and, like,
Bryce and Lee said that
Eric wasn't, you know, there for the right reasons or whatever. And then Jasmine kind of is like, well, I feel like Eric is just a more serious person.
Right.
I mean, I do think that she and Eric are not a good fit. But it just seems like, let her find that out on her own. Like, that's why I hate these things where the girls are, like, scouting for her. Because I'm like, it just causes, drama in the house. And she would have figured out anyway.
And then, of course, like, he's going to get mad that they said something.
Of course he
is. But, like, they felt like they should say someone. And
Right. Also, I do think if you're asked who's the most not here for the right reasons of this group, like, you'll probably say someone.
You're gonna say someone.
Yeah.
There's like 20
Yeah, so
other
like
guys
that
there.
That part of it that they like said that initially was not the part of all of these subsequent interactions that I had a problem with.
Right. That's to be expected.
It was moving forward. Like, that's that is part of just what
the
happens on the show.
Yeah.
First, she has some one-on-one time with Kenny, and he tells her about his Chippendale history.
I love Kenny.
Oh, my God.
And he rips off his tank top.
He's
literally.
He's so fun.
I like him.
I love him.
I think he's a great guy.
I think she really likes him, but I don't see any spark.
I just think she wants to hang out with him, so he'll make it again about halfway because they—
And then it's like,
it's like, it's like how Alexis was, you know, friends with Nick. But
nothing's going to happen.
She tells Adam that her ideal man is secure, which is a great setup for her to talk to Eric, who is a huge ball of insecurities
right now. The opposite.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he takes this opportunity to be like, I feel like I just want to see where you're at because I'm invested, but like I am nervous that you're maybe not sure.
Yeah.
And then she brings up that she heard from Bryson Lee that he might not have
good motives. And he just looks genuinely confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, what?
He's like, what?
Because, I mean, to be fair, it wasn't about his motive. Like, he actually wasn't questioning his own motives in that moment. He was questioning the whole aspect of the show.
Right. Yeah. He was questioning.
At worst, he was questioning her motives.
Yeah.
But he never, like, and
it
I think
never
that's
about him.
The shorthand of the show becomes like the only thing you can do wrong is have bad motives.
Right.
But there's actually a lot of other stuff. Like, maybe you're too insecure. Maybe you're not a good fit for her. Maybe in certain past contestants' cases, you're dangerous. But, like, it doesn't always
certain
have to
one
be
specific
contestant.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It was creating a general sense of insecurity, but it wasn't – that was, like, never the thing that I felt was –
Right, so he's totally confused. And then he
– They make it up. They end fine, but he comes back angry at Bryson Lee.
Yeah. And this is when – Jack and Kenny are like, where's the bathroom?
You're so right. It's highly impressive.
They're like, Jack is sort of like lurking in the background, but I kind of enjoy him.
He seems to be Jack Stone.
He seems to kind of get along with all of them, though.
They should be awarded best name, the best name prize.
Well, he has the sad story where he actually took his mother, who passed away from cancer, his last name after she passed away.
Oh, my God.
And that's
God,
why
you're
he's
right.
Jack Stone. Yeah.
Oh,
it's a really good name, though.
It's a good name, though.
So Eric is like, what's the deal? And Bryce is like, I don't know, man. I was just answering the question. Like, we
Yeah,
should
Bryce's
cool.
answer yeah. was just like, I don't, I just, yeah, yeah. I just said it. Yeah. It's just the
Lee
game.
Decides to go in on this. He's like, you just haven't experienced love. And like,
which that was like a new thing.
Apparently,
like,
it's the case.
Well, I guess they had
like,
talked
sure,
about
that's
it.
That's true. I haven't.
Yeah. And he's like, and you know that. So clearly, they've been having these conversations.
Yeah. But it just really goes downhill. Like, Eric is like, I think Bryce is being genuine. I don't think you're being genuine. Mm-hmm. And Lee's like, look, you're a great, capable individual. You're amazing.
So weird.
But I love you to death. But like, hearing you scream at Iggy last night, it really.
He was riling him up in a way that felt really diabolical.
Really evil.
And because he's saying, I love you. You're just such a great guy. And he's like, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep saying you love me? But then you're telling me, like, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And so Eric is just getting, you know, it's really playing on his insecurities and his frustrations. And he feels like he's being, like, I mean, gaslit. He feels like he's being gaslit.
Also, because I found out about all of the Lee stuff, now my lens for him is just, like, you are, like, not a good person.
Yeah.
And so I just keep, I'm like, you know, I can see how if I didn't, I don't know if I can see, like, maybe if I didn't know about these, like, racist things, I'd be like, oh, he's just responding. But now I'm like, no, you're evil.
No.
Like, you're trying to get this person riled up. You're trying to, like...
And then we see later on him literally admit that he enjoys when he stays calm and makes someone angrier.
Oh,
and
he takes joy
in that.
It was gross.
Is like, he, at the very, like, these are things that I might want. Like, with Taylor, I was ready to be like, she's young. She doesn't understand. Doesn't understand how she's coming off. Lee is very purposefully being patronizing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Condescending.
Completely. You're a great kid sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
like, is not a good look, but he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah. And then whenever he would, like, when Eric would get riled up, he would be like, oh, Oh, wow. Okay. And I was like, you are like that. That's the most frustrating thing when you're mad is when someone like treats you like a little kid.
Right.
And
it's like, oh, wow. It's like someone saying to you, oh, calm down. Just breathe. And you're like, well,
you're getting really mad right now. And you're like, because I'm upset because of you. And, and then you just get more mad.
And this is something you might experience as a woman in a relationship or like probably as a person of color. Yeah. It's just like they purposefully hit your weak points and make you upset. And then they're like, oh, see, I knew this would happen. You're this is just how your personality is. Yes. It's weaker than mine.
And then you know in the moment that you're supposed to be calm and like whatever, but like you're just so mad that you're like, I just have to get mad at you. And like I completely saw where Eric was coming from then. Like I would have been I would have been just like
furious.
Yeah.
And he's right, you know, he's like, I don't trust Lee. Lee has snake in his DNA.
He read him correctly.
And it's true.
I think that's absolutely true.
He keeps being like, I love you to death, man. You're great. And then cut to in the moment. He's like, he's just a kid with a bad issue. I don't care if he disrespects me. He means nothing.
And it's like, so why did you say I love you, man, 13 times? Like, it was also manipulative and gross. And like, I absolutely think he has snake in his DNA.
Yes. Yeah. And then Eric gets the group date rose. Clearly, Rachel wants to reassure him a little bit. And he calls over, I'm happy you got the rose, man. You deserve it for growth.
Wait, Lee said that?
Oh, yes. I missed that.
Oh, I missed that too.
It was so condescending.
He's just the worst combination of everything. Like, he's condescending, but
he's like,
he likes to be on a high horse. And like, it's just, it's really gross.
He's like very Chuck Bass, like country boy to me. He's like,
but Chuck Bass had a heart.
Sort of. I'm not a Chuck Bass girl.
Lee just has a snake where his heart should
exactly. So then we get to the cocktail party, and we start out with Eric feeling really good, and he's saying to the other guys, like, I finally feel comfortable. I had this conversation with Rachel that I'd been wanting to have, and it was uncomfortable, but I felt really validated by it.
Yeah, he's like, I just want to give my good energy to you guys tonight. And
wants to be, and now he says, I can now just be thankful for the moment.
Right.
Which I totally get. When you're anxious,
you just want to be reassured.
And when that anxiety is relieved, you feel like you can breathe again.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what he was experiencing.
Yes, definitely.
Meanwhile, Iggy, who didn't get a date this episode, finds it maddening that Eric has a rose. So he goes to Rachel and brings up the conversation that he had with Eric and, what bothered him about it initially, he felt like Eric was, like, questioning Rachel's genuineness. And then he immediately goes to Eric and is like, listen, I told Rachel that
this was, like, very run-of-the-mill, just, like, it's stupid to use your time to talk shit about someone else.
Yeah, and like, that never worked. Like, especially if you've watched the show, that never goes well. No. Like, it's never the person who is like, Sally doesn't like you. You know, that person never, like, goes far because you end up just being consumed by it. And that's all you talk about with the bachelor / bachelorette is, like, how this person shouldn't be there. And then when the person's gone, you're like, what do I do? Like, you have no basis other than that.
And I understand Iggy being annoyed by Eric because he yelled at him. Yeah. Like, I get that. And then they have the weirdest exchange where Eric is, like, taking all of Iggy's feedback actually really well. Like, and at first, because he's like, you can, and it's pretty condescending. He's like, you can grow by listening more. And Eric's like, okay, yeah, that's great advice for me personally, but, like, how is this relevant to dating Rachel? And I was like, that's a really fair point, Eric.
Totally.
Meanwhile, Lee says he's going to throw Eric under the bus and he's going to feel good about it.
He's disgusting.
Rachel talks to...
Oh, and then he says, Eric's naive.
Yeah.
Lee said that.
Yeah.
I can't... Lee literally makes my blood boil. Like,
me too.
It just...
Yeah. Ugh. Rachel sits down with Eric again and basically is like, I don't think you're wrong for being yourself, but I do think you shouldn't question... I'm not a fan of you questioning my motives. And he denies that, but she's like, well, now I can't help... Like, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have... My antennas
are up.
Right. And he just says, like, I'm just confused why people are all coming at me.
Yeah.
Which
is
valid. They are.
It's totally valid. I feel like Iggy was just like, I want to be a part of it too. And kind of like. Yeah.
It felt very different to me. The tenor of Iggy's comments felt very different to me than Lee's. Because Iggy's,
completely.
Because we always see this happen where like the two of the guys get in a fight and then they like need to go tell Rachel. Like this happens all the time.
Yes, exactly.
So Eric confronts the guys in this big scene we keep seeing.
And he says
teased.
He's hurt. He's hurt
like,
by it.
Yeah. He's like, don't make this about me. Make it about Rachel. If I fail with Rachel, let it be for me. And the guys are sort of like, well, this is a game. We're going to say stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which
Eric
is true.
Says, it is maybe true. I'm a threat to you guys.
Never the right thing to say.
Lee says, everyone is a threat to everybody. And Eric makes a really solid point, which is like, I keep hearing from you that I should be less opinionated, talk less, like listen more. Yeah. And the implication is hard to miss that like they think he's like getting out of his place, that he's like being a little too much.
And Lee's only response is, it's not about you. And Eric's like, it is about me.
Because you talked about me. So it's about me. You chose to bring it up.
Right. And this is kind of where the episode ends, is with
this
a cliffhanger
fight.
in the middle of this fight.
And we see a preview.
We didn't.
No. So we see a preview. God. I have a feeling both Lee and Eric will stick around. Well, Eric has a rose, but I have a feeling, well, clearly Lee's going to stick around at least for the next episode, I think.
Well, he's still going to be there when we get back. And I don't know if what we saw was more from the rose ceremony.
It was hard to tell.
Or not. But it seems like.
True.
He called
someone aggressive.
I got the sense it was either Eric or Kenny.
Or Kenny.
Aggressive. And Kenny appeared to be stirring up shit with Lee, understandably. And Will had to, like, take him aside on the balcony and be like, when you call a black man aggressive, you are tapping into a history of rhetoric that's been used to justify, like, violence against black men. And it's hard to see that that's coming and know the whole time that
Lee has no respect for
the things that he said. I also am like, I'm just praying he goes soon because I'm like, I don't want to see him get any closer to her. Like, that is going to make me feel crazy.
And get more of a platform.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't want her to see the good in him, like, at all. Do you know what I mean? Or, like, come close to him because it's going to just, like, break my heart.
Something I also noticed from the promo so in the initial season promo, there was this scene that made it seem like it was maybe addressing her final two or three guys where she's crying and saying, like, I know what people are going to say about me and they're going to judge my decisions. And it did seem like she was maybe speaking to something about race and her choices. But we interpreted that because of where it came in that promo as being at the end.
Maybe it's next
week.
They
showed it for next week again.
Yeah.
And that's right. Wonder if it's her speaking to either keeping Lee around or not keeping Lee around or trying to intervene in the situation.
But this is what I mean about, like, you know, ABC can be like, it's not about race. She just happens to be black. But, like, it is. You know what I mean? And, like, these things are going to come up anyways. And we're seeing them come up next week. And it's, like, that's why you, like, have to – like, it has to be part of the conversation because it is a part of the conversation. Like,
They're trying to have it both ways. They're like, she's not really a black bachelorette. Yeah. She's a great bachelorette.
Just, like, which she is, but she's also black. And that is going to, like, you know, it's just – it's going to end up being a part of – like,
but they're playing it in the worst possible way, where they're like, here's how we can introduce race. Bring a racist
on
the show.
Bring a racist on the show.
No. You do not give a racist a platform to spew his bullshit, make other people look bad, and then sort of, like, valorize himself among other racists.
Completely, like, instigating, like, the whole situation with Eric and kind of making him mad and enjoying it and getting pleasure out of it. It's just, like,
it's sick to watch.
Ugh, it's terrible.
And the thing is, like, we see even from this episode, Eric would have clashed with someone else anyway.
Eric has an annoying side.
Like, and Eric is just like a spiral waiting to happen. Like, that is not a surprise, but like,
Who's anxious, their anxiety is always going to come out in some way.
Yes,
and in this lockbox environment, you would have gotten some kind of conflict. Like, you will always get conflict in this situation. You do not need to put a bigot into the mix to get that drama.
Yeah, and to, like, rile it up. And
it's like,
and
they started watching Unreals last season, but they didn't finish it because they didn't learn that this can go really badly.
Oh, right. With, like, the thing with the bikini. Yeah. Like, that whole thing. Yeah. It was totally that, but it's
totally
just, like,
that.
Worse.
So, Tiffany Bay, tweeted last night at Tiff Bay. She said, "I'm familiar with this game. Let's gang up on the black man, get him upset, get him amped up to make him look crazy."
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really great assessment and exactly why it was so gross to watch.
Yes. And then after he gets him riled up, like the thing that was so infuriating is then he steps back and is like, "Oh, you're angry.
Oh, you're crazy."
And it's so manipulative. He knew exactly what he was doing. And that's why it's like so frustrating to watch. Is it's like you knew what you were doing and you're enjoying it now. And now like Eric's upset, as he has a right to be. And now that has a certain connotation. And like that is what is so infuriating.
And this is playing out again for a predominantly white audience.
Yeah.
And of course, there are people who are watching this with an eye towards media literacy, with an eye on these kind of dynamics. But there's a lot of people watching who also take everything more at face value who are not watching this to understandably to pick it apart on a sociological level like we do, because we're like nerds and like to do that.
Well, that's why I'm excited that Will apparently is stepping up and educating Lee, because that I'm like, yes, like this is the conversation that like needs to be had. Well, not necessarily needs to be had.
Yeah.
Like it would be better if it just didn't have to be had. But like
it needs to be had.
Right. But like, I was glad to see that someone is calling Lee out and attempting to educate him versus just letting him run rampantly.
And this is also where I was thinking a lot about Unreal and the fact that, you know, the character of Rachel on Unreal justifies so many of her bad decisions and her manipulation of these people on the show. She's like, well, we're going to give the audience like a chance to see, you know, black love or a chance to see, you know, sexism get shut down or something.
Yeah.
And so on the one hand, I'm like, it is great to have something, you know, that maybe a lot of that white audience wouldn't understand articulated on mainstream TV.
Yes.
But you are putting a black man in the position to educate this asshole in front of him and also, you know, white America who's watching.
Unsafe environment.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it reminds me of what the showrunners really talked about with season two of Unreal, which is Rachel and Quinn have this arrogance to think that they're the right people to tell that story. And I feel like ABC is like, the Bachelorette team, for all that they're very good at, is not equipped to tell this story.
No, and that's the thing, like, that I thought was so great about that article is it's like, just because they're taking this great step doesn't mean they know how to handle it or have the tools. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, I almost think there should be, like, well, I guess maybe this is what Chris Harrison's supposed to do, but, like, someone who, like, a third party who can come in and be like, hey, like, that's uncalled for.
Yeah, they should replace Chris Harrison
with, like,
a team of Chris Harrison
worker.
And a social worker.
Who's like, no, that was below the belt, you know? But, like, that's the thing is, like, I think because this is the first season of its kind, it's like there's going to be – it's maybe what Rachel was getting so upset about. It's like she's, like, the example, and all these people are the first examples, and all these people are, like – you know, the first person, you know, the first black man to get the chance to be like this angry because, like, there's only been like one in the past, you know? And
she's really walking on a knife's edge.
Right. And it's really, we just watched before you arrived this morning, we were watching a pre-taped segment that Rachel had done with Nightline. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, the reporter asks her about, you know, the pressure of being the first black bachelorette and the pressure to maybe like, pick, you know, another African-American man at the end and, like, how that plays out for her. And she's like, yeah, I'm trying to just make decisions for myself, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't trying to consider all of these responsibilities and want, you know,
of course,
at the same time. And I think it is a lot on her, unfortunately, when she's just the lead of a reality TV show.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, you know.
Okay, sorry. We have talked too much, as per usual.
So we have to wrap it up for this week. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. It's really my pleasure.
Come back anytime.
Thanks, I will.
Sorry, Nick. And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
All right, this week had a good assortment of just, like, across-the-board standard feminism fails. First, Lucas says Blake is talking dirt about him because Blake has a crush on him, followed by some dumb banana metaphor. This was just, like, weirdly homophobic and gross and totally unnecessary. We're going to give that a 3 because obviously he was just trying to be ridiculous, but still.
And then Brian says Will got his sloppy seconds. Look, dude, don't refer to Rachel, the woman who you're ostensibly trying to marry, as sloppy seconds. Don't refer to any women as sloppy seconds. We're going to give that one a 3. As we know, they were apparently very drunk.
Next, the gentlemen try to guess what the date card sometimes women have to take charge means, and half of them immediately guess that they're going shopping. Ugh. Because that's what women it's do all women when they're do. In charge, and then they charge stuff to your credit card. What bitches. We're going to give that a 3. They're trying to be silly, but it's just so stereotypical and offensive.
And then, of course, we just have a general intersectional feminism and also humanity fail in Lee. We're going to give his whole person a big whopping 5.
Hi, guys. We have some news.
Yeah, HuffPost is launching a brand new podcast.
Yay!
It's called IVFML, and it's sort of like a reality show in a way. It's a really emotional but also super hilarious account of what it's like to go through infertility.
And we're joined now by one of the hosts, Anna Almendrella, who is a senior editor with HuffPost out in L.A. covering all things health and medicine. Thanks for joining us, Anna.
Thanks for having me, Claire and Emma.
So, Anna, can you just tell us a little bit about your podcast, IVFML?
Okay, IVFML is about one couple's journey through infertility. It's hosted by me and my husband, Simon Gans, who's a TV writer. When we were 28, we started trying to have a baby because, you know, you've been married a couple years. What's next on the horizon, right? It wasn't working out. And when we started going to the doctor to try to find out more, we realized that this could be like a very long process. Turned out that it was a years-long process. And we just started recording little pieces of our experiences, whether it be at the doctor's office or picking out embryos or dealing with other people about what it's like to have infertility or miscarriages. Infertility can be sad. It can be frustrating. But we chose to sort of take a humorous approach to our situation. We took those recordings that we made, and with HuffPost, we came up with this 5-episode miniseries on what it's like to be infertile, go through pregnancy loss, and go through IVF.
So one interesting thing you cover on the show is how we learn about pregnancy prevention during sex ed, but not so much about managing fertility, which turns out to be a different thing. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. In high school, obviously, sex education is very fear-based because you're trying to get children to not have unprotected sex and to not get pregnant. But I think something that's lost in that is a more comprehensive understanding of how reproduction works in general. Like, you know, I'm a college-educated woman. I'm a professional woman. When I was 28 and I first started trying to conceive, I realize now that I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Everyone sort of just says you need to relax and have fun, but I didn't know what days of the month I was supposed to be fertile. I didn't know things like, did you know that your vaginal mucus actually means different things at different times in the month? Like, you can get signals from your body by, like, you know, like what's in your underwear.
Did not know that.
I try to ignore my vaginal mucus.
Yes, secretions of all sorts. I was straight up ignorant, and I was basically flying blind for months before my doctor really sat me down and showed me, okay, if your period lands on this date, then you're technically fertile on these dates, so that's when I need you to try. And I was like, oh my God, I am so dumb.
You mention in the podcast that you and your husband have endured miscarriages. Can you tell us a little bit about self-care after pregnancy loss?
Yeah, I mean, every couple probably has their own different approach to a pregnancy loss if they have to experience one. There's obviously sadness, there's grief. Some women might find it easier to compartmentalize it and minimize it. Some people said to me, you're not going to think about this in a couple of months, in a couple of years. Some people said, this is more just like a late period. You didn't really actually lose a baby. When it comes to self-care after pregnancy loss, there's no one thing that'll work for everybody. for me, I realized that taking care of myself after pregnancy losses meant telling people. It meant reaching out for support, which also meant that when I encountered people or family members that didn't feel comfortable talking about it, that hurt my feelings. People that I didn't expect in my life to just step away or just drop out of communication for months. So whatever perspective works for you, I suggest that you don't punish yourself or don't try to force yourself into trying to understand things.
Absolutely.
It sounds really challenging, but I think you summed it up really well. I think it's important, especially for women during a time when they're struggling with trying to conceive, to remember to take care of themselves and to not think of every move as a potential mistake and a potential point to blame themselves, which is something really important that you talk about in the podcast.
Oh, yeah. There's so much opportunity for blame and guilt.
Yeah. We wanted, lastly, to talk to you about how the stigma of infertility and pregnancy loss tends to fall on women as opposed to men. How did this play out with you in your marriage? Like, what did people say to you?
Oh, man. First of all, it's obvious that women are the ones that carry the embryo and fetus to full term. They're the ones that give birth. They're the ones that, nourish the baby throughout the 10 months that you're pregnant. So it's obvious in some senses why people would feel more comfortable approaching a woman with advice or their stories. But it also just became irritating because the more we learned about our infertility, the more we realized that there was also potentially some issues with sperm, too. I'll just tell you one brief story. I was talking with a distant family friend about what we were going through and all the things that had happened to us in our journey. And she just, like, you know, went off in her usual spiel, like, oh, you need to get a massage, you need to relax, you need to pray, you need to, like, visualize, blah, 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 the egg, blah, blah, you know, like, all these things that are, like, I have some really strong spiritual connection between, like, my mind and my reproductive organs. But by that point, we had already found out some sperm stuff, so I cut her off, and I was like, actually, it might be a sperm thing. And she was just like, oh. And then I was expecting her to start saying the same things, like, well, Simon needs to just blah, 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 blah. But she didn't say anything. So it's like, if it's my issue, I have supposedly so much mental control. But if it's Simon's issue, it's like, oh, well, there's nothing that can be done for that.
That's crazy. I mean, I guess I've never heard of people telling men to relax or the stress will make their sperm wonky.
Yeah, even though there is research about how stress can affect male fertility, but that's a different digression. The point is that women get the brunt of these pieces of advice or the blame, and men are just like amazing, like strong swimmers who just really need a fertile garden to plant in.
Yeah, I feel like everything you're saying, like everything these days, is just making me think of The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, right. In The Handmaid's Tale, you're not even allowed to say that a man might be sterile, right?
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Women, again, are, you know, it's kind of a an exaggeration of real life, I guess. A horrifying exaggeration.
It's something you play up really amusingly in the podcast, too. Just like how much masculinity is wrapped up in a guy believing that his sperm is really strong and like determined. And I feel like that association is almost even stronger than what we have with women and fertility, because we talk so much about women being infertile, and it's just assumed that men who are masculine are just going to be able to get people pregnant.
Simon will be the person to tell you that when his test results for his sperm first started coming back strong, he felt personally amazing. He felt like he was flying. But then when it sort of came back that maybe there was a problem, it crashed. He crashed so hard.
Yeah. Well, Anna, thanks so much for jumping on to tell us all about IVFML. We're so excited for everyone to hear it.
Yes. And Here to Make Friends listeners, it's dropping tomorrow. That's IVFML. All 5 episodes will be released at once, so you can binge away. Go subscribe now. Look for IVFML on Apple Podcasts and all the places you can find podcasts.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Bella Lavelle. And if you haven't checked out Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, you really should. It's fantastic. And our producer, Nick Offenberg.
Also, please remember to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating. It helps other people find and fall in love with our amazing podcast. We're also on Facebook, so please like us. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emmalady Rose. Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week to recap what looks like a very dramatic week 4 of The Bachelorette.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.